gift from you. Lord God, all we are, all we have is from you. Lord God, and we offer the worship as an offering to you, Lord God. May our lives be an offering to you out of the riches of your blessings for us. Amen. Amen. So the past few weeks as a church, we've been going through Pete Gregg's book, How to Pray, and Pete Gregg, he's the founder of 20% Prayer. And it's a really wonderful book that's filled with practical advice. I'm not getting any commission from this. It's filled with really practical advice about prayer and testimony. Pete's had a fascinating life and time leading 24/7 Prayer. And Pete breaks the book down into four main sections. He uses PRAY, the word PRAY, as an acronym. If we've got any slides up this morning, if the technology's working with us, maybe not. Okay. Nope, that's fine. So Pete uses the word PRAY as an acronym, and the first letter P is for pause in prayer, taking time, setting aside time of the busyness of our lives to look to God and to pause in so much of the busyness and things that can distract us and can consume a lot of our time. So P is for pause. R is for rejoice, rejoicing in who God is. Hallowed be your name, as Jesus prays, and reflecting that in our lives, taking time to hallow God's name. He is the great I Am, the one who always was, always is, and always will be, and recognizing that in prayer, and in light of that, who we are, his creation. And then we have A for asking. Mark was thinking about that, reflecting on that last week. Looking to God for all we have, out of our poverty, out of our need, looking to God's richness and his wealth, because he gives us all that we have. So A for ask. And this morning we're looking at the final letter. Oh, we had it briefly, which was yield. And I'm yielding the technology to God this morning, knowing that he's faithful. We'll see. So that's what we're thinking about this morning. Yielding to God, surrendering all we are, surrendering all we have to him, which I'm sure we all know is a very easy spiritual discipline, I'm sure, for all of us, to surrender all we are and submit all we have to God. So that's what we're thinking about this morning. And as I was thinking about yielding and surrendering to God through the week, I was thinking, you know, it is true, absolutely fundamentally true, that in Jesus we are completely free, as we've been singing this morning. We are completely free. The sin and death, the kingdom of darkness that we once lived in, we no longer live in. In Christ, we've been transferred into the kingdom of life and light. We're completely free, yet we completely surrender to God. We completely submit to him. So we're both completely free and we completely surrender to God. And that's kind of a paradox. Could we try slide two? See if that works. So we're absolutely free and in absolute surrender and submission to God. Both of these things are true. And I quite like paradoxes. I also hate them, which is kind of a paradox itself. And I don't really like them because I like things to be consistent and clear and logical, very straightforward, which life is not. It's not that neat, it is messy. And there are some paradoxes in the Christian faith and in life. You know, Socrates, he had a famous paradox. I only know one thing, and that's that I know nothing, was Socrates' famous paradox. And you've got a few others that I've heard throughout the years. You know, no one ever goes to that restaurant because it's always too crowded. Or what are some other ones? Oh, you never go near water unless you know how to swim, is another one. But the Christian faith and life is full of paradoxes. We're completely free, but in complete surrender and submission to God. We have power in weakness. We have strength in weakness. You know, we are made full. We are filled with the Spirit as we empty ourselves. There are these paradoxes in the Christian faith. We have life in death. As we die to self, we have life in Christ. Christianity is full of these paradoxes. And we'll think about one of them this morning, being free servants of God. We are free servants. And Martin Luther, the father of Protestantism, the kind of great reformer, he put it this way. He said, a Christian is perfectly free, subject to none. A Christian is perfectly dutiful, servant to all, subject to all. We're both completely free in Christ and in complete surrender, complete submission to God. And Paul speaks about this in a kind of a paradoxical way in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and that we're going to be looking at this morning. Paul speaks about being a living sacrifice, Paul says. And that's a weird choice of words. Generally, under the Old Covenant, sacrifices would have been animals that would have been killed for God. That would have been a death offering for God. But Paul's speaking about a new thing, a living sacrifice. So let's look at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, and so, brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So the Christian life is one of being a living sacrifice, a free servant in the perfect freedom that we have in Christ, but in perfect submission to God. And Paul in these verses is speaking about being transformed by God. As we submit to him, as we surrender to him, we are transformed by God. And that is my prayer this morning, that we would know the transformation of God in our lives. That I would know it, that you would know it, that we would all know that power of God in our lives as we surrender ourselves, every aspect of ourselves, our mind, our body, our future, our past, all we are, all we have, surrendering to God, that we would know the power of the transformation we have in him this morning, because we need that transformation. We need the transformation that is on offer in Jesus Christ. And the world needs the transformation of the gospel. And that's my prayer this morning, that we would know it, that East Kilbride would know it, that Scotland, that this nation, that the world would know the power of the gospel, being a free servant, a living sacrifice, because the world needs it. The world needs it. I was just reading earlier this week about a double shooting in East Kilbride. In East Kilbride, two people shot next to the health centre and next to a school. Two people were shot. We live in a fallen world, a world that needs the transformation that Paul is speaking about. The world is a mess. If we think politically, things seem to be in a crisis, a complete mess. All over the world, governments falling apart. Things seem to be in a crisis. Socially, things are in a crisis. More and more marriages breaking down and families falling apart. People not knowing who they are. Nihilism and purposelessness and meaninglessness is on a rise. The world needs the transformation of Jesus in their lives, as do we, to be living sacrifices to God. The world is so broken and fallen. And when we look at the news, when we look at the world and look at our lives, every one of us, I'm sure, at some point will be touched by hardship, sickness, tragedy, and grief in our lives. We live in a fallen world. And when we look at this, we can be overwhelmed. We can be completely overwhelmed. How can we fix this? How can we save this? How can we save ourselves? And the truth is, we can't. We can't fix this. We cannot save ourselves. And this is where yielding comes in. This is where submitting and surrendering to God comes in. Confessing, we cannot fix this. We cannot fix ourselves. We cannot make ourselves right. We are sinners. And we submit and surrender ourselves to God completely because we know He is the one who has. We know He is the one who can fix this, who can save us. We know He is the one who has, in Jesus Christ, made us right with Him, been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So that is the place of yielding and submission and surrendering to God. Praying the prayer of Martin Luther, he says, "Lord, I am yours. Save me." I pray that would be our prayer this morning. Lord, I am yours. Save me. Lord, I'm not my own. I don't belong to this world. I'm not a citizen of this kingdom, but I'm a citizen of your kingdom. Lord God, all I am, all I have are yours. You're my God. You're my King. You're my shepherd. When we pray that, Lord, I am yours, we're saying yes to Jesus. We're saying yes to the saving grace of God in Christ, purchasing us through the blood of Jesus. Lord God, I am yours. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verse 13, he's speaking about being a slave to righteousness. And he says, "Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life." So use your whole body as an instrument to do that which is right for the glory of God. Give yourself completely to God. Completely to God. All we are, all we have, our bodies, our hands, our mouths, what we say, what we do, where we go, our feet, what we think, our mind, our will, our future, all we are, a sacrifice to God. And I think there's a, when we think about surrendering, when we think about submission, there is a resistance to these words. If we can go on to the next slide, Tony, there is people are uneasy with the words surrendering and submit. But the truth is, in this life, every single person surrenders every day. We're all already surrendering. But who is it? What is it that we're surrendering to? We already surrender to governments, to laws, to other people, to temptation, surrendering to sin, surrendering to taxes, surrendering to technology, cars, planes, doctors, so many things. We all surrender every day. Every one of us surrenders. I remember when, before I came to faith, I struggled with the idea of submitting to God, submitting all I had, all I am, and surrendering to God in my life. I struggled with that. You know, I thought I would be losing more than I'd be gaining if I surrendered my life. I thought, you know, I've got it fine. I don't need that. And I didn't realize that I was completely enslaved in my life. I was a slave to sin. I was a slave to the opinions of others. I was enslaved in my life. And I didn't realize that. I was completely enslaved to this world, to the kingdom of darkness, enslaved to sin. I think a lot of people don't realize that. And people think when they look at Christianity, they think, you know, I don't want to give up my life. I don't want to give up these things that I enjoy and become a Christian because I don't want to give up these things. And Jesus sees the heart of man and he addresses that. In Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus sees that heart. And he says, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, to have absolutely everything, all the wealth, all the power, every single thing that this world has to offer? What does it profit us to gain all of that but lose our soul?" Jesus said, "What does it profit a man to gain all of that but lose his soul. This is a matter of eternity. Without Christ, we're without hope. Without Christ, we are without life. Might that be our prayer this morning? Lord, I am yours. Save me. Martin Luther, he prayed that when he was in a prison. Martin Luther was a monk in the 1500s when the Catholic Church was the church. It was the dominant church. And they ruled. They were the government as well. So to speak out against the church, to speak out against the Pope, was heresy. You could have been killed for doing that. And Martin Luther was a monk in the Catholic Church at this time. And as he read God's word, he saw inconsistencies with being saved by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone. He saw that in Scripture, but he didn't see that in the church. So Martin started to speak out against the church, and he came up with 95 critiques, his 95 thesis, and famously nailed that to church doors. And the Catholic Church brought him and tried him for heresy, and they said, recant all of your critiques of the church and the Pope. Take it all back. Take it all back. And he famously said, I won't recant any of it. Here I stand, I can do no other. God help me. He was a man in submission, in surrender to God. He knew that his life wasn't his own. You know, you were generally executed for heresy. But he knew that his life was not his own. Even in the face of death, he had life eternal. Lord, I am yours. Save me. Might that be our prayer this morning? Total submission and surrender to God. Whenever we're thinking about spiritual disciplines, like prayer, as we've been thinking about over the past few weeks, if we can go on to the next slide, and earlier in the year we were looking at the Bible course and cultivating rhythms of reading our Bible every day. As we think about these spiritual disciplines and the discipleship pathway of living connected and being transformed through God's word as we pray and fast and do spiritual disciplines in our lives, we have to realize that we do so as completely free followers of Jesus, that we have been set free from the law in Jesus, as Paul writes in Romans 6. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. We are a people of grace. We live under God's grace. That's what it is to be a Christian, living under grace. And we fulfill these spiritual disciplines of prayer and reading the Bible, not in order to save ourselves, but because we are saved, but because we know we are completely saved in Jesus. When Christ died for us, he paid the penalty for our sin, for our guilt, for our shame. That's been paid, and he's fulfilled our righteousness completely. He obeyed the law perfectly. He fulfilled that righteousness perfectly. So we no longer live under the requirements of the law, but there is a danger that spiritual disciplines of prayer and service and fasting, that in our minds we can almost set up a law, that these become the law, that you know I have to do these in order to be right with God. And I've seen that in my own life. I know this because I've seen that in my own life. I've got to do these things in order to get right with God. But the amazing truth of the gospel is that we have been set free from the requirements of the law, that Jesus has fulfilled it all, that we are perfectly saved and free in Christ. And we pray, we seek God through his word and through church, through service, because we are saved not to save ourselves. So let's be vigilant of that mind that I've seen in my life and have seen in the lives of others, it's almost like the mind of the Pharisee that tries to construct, tries to set up a law that we would live under in order to save ourselves, because we've been set free from that in Christ. And Paul in Romans 12, he speaks about patterns of the world. And I want to think about that for a little while. Patterns of the world. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. There's a book by Richard Foster called A Celebration of Discipline, which is a fantastic book about spiritual disciplines, and it makes you feel absolutely tiny, because it's such a convicting book, and but it's accessible and a great book to read. I'd really recommend it. Celebration of Discipline. He writes about the discipline of submission. And Foster warns of a pattern, a custom, a behavior of this world that we have to watch out for. He said that there's a chain that binds, Foster writes. He said, where is he? Here we are. He writes, there's a slavery, a burden in this life of always needing to get our own way. A slavery of always needing to get our own way, the obsession, the demand that can rise up in all of us that we have to get our own way. I've seen that in my life. And you know, April, she's just turned one. And when I was putting her to bed the other day, April loves books. She loves to read books and scream at the pages for no reason and call every animal a baby and everyone a baby. But when we've read the story for the night, and I'm putting her to bed, and she clicks, okay, we're going to bed now. She lets me know that's not her will. You know, that's not what she wants. She doesn't want to yield to Dad at this moment. And she lets me know, you know, in the most precious, perfect way. She she lets me know. And April's one. She's 1 year old. It seems innate, this need, this slavery to getting our own way. And you know, April, when I only read her one story, I put her to bed, she'll only stay mad at me for about 10 seconds, and then she'll relax. But we can see in people's lives, we could see in our own lives, you know, when we don't get our own way, we could be fuming, we could be stewing for weeks, for months, for years even, just in a rage, because we're unable to yield to the will of others, because we need to get our own way. If you think about relationships in your life and in the lives of others, relationships in and out of the church that have broken down, that haven't worked out, if you think about how these relationships have broken down, how fights have broken out, the majority of these breakdowns and this division and the fights that occur are because people are unwilling to yield to others. They're not free to give in to others. But is it not so that in Christ we have been released from all of that? That we are free from that life. We are no longer bound by that, but we have been released. We're free to drop it, to move on, to get over it, to yield to others and to yield to God. Foster writes in his book, most things in this life are not nearly as important as we think or as we act as if they are. And let's remember how it is that love is described in 1 Corinthians 13, that love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't envy, love doesn't boast, love is not proud, love doesn't dishonor, and love does not insist on its own way. We have been set free in Christ from that chain that once bound us. We are released. Lord, I am yours completely. When we're unwilling to yield, to give in to others. We're acting as if there is something greater than the freeing blood of Jesus. When we're unwilling to give in and yield to others, we're acting and saying as if there's something greater than the freedom that we have in Jesus. What can be greater than the freedom that we have in Jesus? Absolutely nothing is greater than that. Don't conform to patterns, to behaviors, to customs of this world, Paul said. But be transformed into a new person by changing the way that you think. And one major way that God transforms us is, of course, in prayer. And if we think about what prayer is, in its essence, prayer is yielding. Prayer is yielding to God. Whatever the prayer is, when we're praying, we're looking to God. Out of our need, out of our poverty, we're looking to God's riches. We're looking to Him. So prayer, in its essence, is yielding. And I was thinking, it was amazing to have 24/7 prayer in the church through the week. And I'm not sure who went there, but there was prayer stations all about room one in church house. And some of these stations, there was one that really spoke to me about this. And if you were there, it was the prayer station that had rocks, and there was a bowl of water. If we can go into the next slide, Tony. And what you had to do was take one of these rocks and grasp onto it, clench onto this rock, and think about something that was troubling you, something that was weighing you down, a burden in this life. And as you were gripping and grasping onto this rock, you had to think about that thing and offer it up to God in prayer. And as you were yielding, as you were submitting this thing to God, surrendering it in prayer, you had to let go of the rock and put it in the bowl of water. And it's such a simple thing. But I thought it's so appropriate when we think about surrendering, when we think about yielding, because our lives, and I say this because I've been there innumerable times, our lives can be like a clenched fist, holding on to things, gripping onto things that we're just not yielding. We're not giving over to God, we're not surrendering to Him, but we are gripping, grasping onto these things, and we're not yielding them to God. Might our prayer this morning be, Lord, I am yours, all of me, all I have, surrendering to you. And if we think about gripping onto a stone, how we let that go is kind of a process. You know, you loosen your hand and then you let your fingers go, and then the rock falls out. And submission, surrendering to God, yielding to Him, is a process. You know, it's a rhythm of our lives every day, submitting all we are, all we have to Him. And the initial loosening of our hand and letting that rock go initially, that is coming to faith. That's the initial surrender. But that's not where the journey stops. That's by no means our surrendering and submission journey over, but that's where it begins. Every day we surrender ourselves, all we are, to God. Lord, I am yours. I'm no longer my own. I'm not bound by chains of this world. Lord, I am yours. Save me. And as we surrender every day, we come to know, as Gillian was saying, the perfect faithfulness of God. As we read our Bible, as we pray, as we see God at work in our lives, in the lives of others, we come to know He is perfectly faithful, perfectly true. He is our perfect Heavenly Father. And we grow to trust God, and then we would submit and yield more of ourselves to the perfect will of God. So if you are burdened and weighed down this morning, if you're tired of grasping onto our lives, knowing that we cannot save ourselves, that we live in a fallen world, that we are sinners before a holy God, let's let go of that and surrender ourselves completely to God. Lord, I am yours. Save me. Come to me, as Jesus said, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Lord God, that is our prayer this morning. Lord, I am yours. We're no longer our own. We no longer seek our own will or desires or self, Lord God, but we've died to self that we might have life in you. Life eternal. Joy without measure is in you, Lord Jesus. So I pray this morning and that those burdened and weighed down, those heavy with the things of life, would know the peace that is in you. For you are the Prince of Peace, Lord God. Break the chains that bind us this morning, because we are perfectly free in our Lord Jesus. The chains of sin, the chains of addiction, the chains of lust, the chains of this world, Lord God, break them by your power as we submit and surrender ourselves, our lives, our bodies, all we have and are, to you this morning. Lord God, we are yours. Amen. Amen. So we're going to stand and sing our final song, This Is My Desire. Yeah. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that we would trust in the God of miracles. Lord, we were dead in our sins. We can't save ourselves. So Lord God, we surrender all we are to the one who will, who can, who has saved us, set us free from the chains of sin and death, transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son Jesus. Lord God, we surrender all we are to you. Lord, I am yours. Amen. Amen. The prayer team is at the front. Please do come and receive prayer. They would love to pray with you for whatever.